Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston. Bread for the
Broken. We have emotions. We experience emotions, and praise God for that. Praise God for that. Now, we don't want to be controlled by fear. Fear is a healthy thing in the right context, okay? A wild animal comes across in your front yard and you're out there, that fear that gets triggered inside of you, well, that's meant to protect and save your life, okay? To where you're like, I don't think I want to mess with this thing. You're right. That's a good thing. So sometimes it's been put within us.
In today's message, Pastor James will share with you about emotions and how important they are in our everyday lives. In some circles, you might hear that with Christ, we have nothing to fear, which is true, but that can be taken to an extreme. Let's say you walk outside and you see a massive bear. Well, you'd probably be pretty scared, right? And for good reason. Our emotions like fear and anger aren't intrinsically bad. God gave us these emotions for a reason. It's how we react to them that matters. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 18 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
You are accountable for your own actions. I've given you the gospel. You don't want to hear any more from me? Then it's on you. And what you do with it, it's on you. That's your price to pay. Paul's like, I'm done. I'm going to move on to the Gentiles. Clearly, you guys don't want to hear it anymore. And he was right in doing so. You and I need to understand there are sometimes circumstances, sometimes there may be individuals where you may be like, I'm trying to share the gospel with them, and all they do is just keep mocking me and making fun of me. Shake the dust off your clothes and move on. But if I don't, what? You can't save them. You can't save them. So did you give them the gospel? Yeah. Okay. Every time you talk about Jesus, they just keep mocking you. Yeah. Move on. You're relying too much on yourself to save that person from hell. You can't do that. And your heart and your mind can't bear that weight. You can't bear that weight. So you don't have to feel bad about, like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to create some distance between you and me. I'm just going to move on. I'll go to somebody else who wants to listen to what I have to say. The results may surprise you. Because what may be needed most for them and for you is for you to move on. Sometimes we think, well, no, I just keep showing up and I just keep talking. I just keep showing up and I keep talking. That this eventually this will win them over. It's not going to do it. We know from this story that the best thing Paul did for the synagogue and those within the synagogue is that he stopped showing up. So contrary to the way we think. Completely contrary to the way that we think. No, I got to keep showing up. No, there's times where you need to stop showing up. There's times where you need to stop. Paul shook the dust off his clothes. He's like, I'm going to the Gentiles now. And it did have an effect on them. Verse 7. Then he left and went to the home of Titus, or Justus, who is a Roman Gentile who worshiped God or feared God and lived next door to the synagogue. So Paul literally walks out the church door and goes next door to this Gentile's house. And he's like, I'm going to stay with you. So he moves out of Priscilla and Aquila's house, probably to take some of the pressure off of them because he's just caused a little bit of issues by shaking the dust off his clothes concerning the Jews. Now, there happened to be a Gentile who feared God who was like, Paul, come stay with me. He lived right next door to the synagogue. So Paul exits the church or the synagogue, so to speak, and just sets up camp in Justus's house. And here's the result from that action. Crispus, which I think is a funny name. That's you don't see her that one anymore. anybody's looking for a good name for, you know, maybe a child in the future, Crispus, why not? It's unique. I don't know what it means. I used to know what it means, but now that's long gone out of my brain. But there's Crispus. He was the leader of the synagogue. So Paul exits, and then it says this, as I find my spot here. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. He's the leader of the synagogue. He's the overseer of the synagogue. He's the one in charge when the Apostle Paul is showing up and talking about Jesus all the time. And then he's also the one who's certainly not, you know, helping Paul out by squashing all the mocking and all that stuff. He may have been a participator. Paul leaves, and this dude gets saved. And not just him, but his whole house. Sometimes you need to stop. Sometimes you need to leave. Sometimes you need to move on. So that Crispus can get saved in him and his whole household. Because that may have been what it took for to wake him up. And he's like, well, wait a minute. You're not going to come back anymore? He's like, no, I'm done with you. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. That triggered something within his heart. And he met Jesus. And not only him, but his family got saved. It says, everyone in his household believed in the Lord. Many others in Corinth also heard Paul, became believers, and were baptized. Sometimes you just got to move on. You just got to move on. Because maybe you're standing in the way. Maybe you're all of this is just standing in the way. Move on. Know when to go, right? Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, right? Kenny Rogers used to sing. Hey, just know when to move on. And say, you know what? I don't think what I'm saying is getting through anymore. I'm going to move on. And then salvation breaks out all throughout the city, right? So I mean, this incredible thing happens, and people are getting saved, and the ministry is just, it's exploding. It's exploding. One night, so as the, you know, people are getting saved and all this good stuff. Verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid. Why would God say that? We need to understand something. God doesn't waste words, okay? He doesn't waste words. And what I mean by that is this. He's not going to say something that does not apply to somebody. So what we can take from this, just logically, if God is saying, don't be afraid, more than likely, Paul is afraid. He's got this emotion happening with inside of his heart and his mind. And that emotion is called fear. It's called fear. See, even the spiritual giants that we sometimes like to put on pedestals experience things that make us feel ashamed. Certain emotions that make us feel ashamed. You get afraid sometimes, especially concerning like you're following the Lord, wave of fear is coming over you. You might feel ashamed because that is happening and I should be a stronger Christian. I should have stronger faith in Jesus. Fear should not be a part of my life. And I would say, are you or are you not a human being? You are. God has put emotions within us. We are a sea of emotions. A Christian who is emotionless is not a real person. They are a robot, okay? We have emotions. We experience emotions, and praise God for that. Praise God for that. Now, we don't want to be controlled by fear. Fear is a healthy thing in the right context, okay? A wild animal comes across in your front yard, and you're out there. That fear that gets triggered inside of you, well, that's meant to protect and save your life, okay? To where you're like, I don't think I want to mess with this thing. You're right. You're right. That's a good thing. So sometimes it's been put within us. Now, our emotions can run away from us and control us, and we want to avoid that. You don't want to be governed by fear. In fact, the Bible is full of the commandment. The most common commandment is to fear not. Or to not, don't be afraid. Don't be consumed by fear. Don't be driven by fear. Don't let it control you, is what that's saying. It is not saying don't ever have fear within yourself. Don't ever experience fear. That's not what it's saying. It's saying do not let fear control you. Paul is afraid, and God lovingly shows up to him in a vision and says, listen, Paul, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. I love this because when I envision the Apostle Paul, I think of him as the most like outgoing person ever. Like what I assume as I read through especially the book of Acts and then all the letters that the Holy Spirit penned through him, I just assume he shows up and he just proclaims the word to anybody and to everybody, and he has no fear at all. Like, he just goes for it all the time, and I'm sure he had moments of that. But what is nice about the Bible is it exposes the heroes for who they really are. Some people have a problem with that. Some people have a problem with the Bible exposing the faults of our heroes. How can I trust in this book when it shows that Abraham was a sinner? I'm like, I can identify with that. I'm grateful it does. I'm so grateful it does, because it puts us on a common ground. Because we read through the Bible, and sometimes we put these guys on pedestals, and we're like, I'll never achieve that. I can never be like that person. The Bible is so honest. It's brutally honest with its heroes, and I love that. And here, it's telling us that God showed up to Paul in the middle of the night in a vision and tells him three specific things. Do not be afraid. Speak out. Keep sharing the gospel. Don't be silent. There must have been something going on inside the Apostle Paul. Maybe he was having a moment where it just got to him. And he's like, man, it's been really rough. Every town where I started speaking in, they've all risen up. And I've been beaten, I don't know how many times now. I've been driven out of all these other places. I don't know if I can endure this one more time. I don't know if I can take that on one more time. And God shows up and says, listen, you keep going. You just keep going. The same word he has spoken to the Apostle Paul when he needed it the most in the darkest part of the night. I'm telling you right now, he is speaking to you and I today. Hold fast to this word. Go ahead and circle it. Go ahead and underline it. Go ahead and be like me and put a star next to this thing and revisit this thing as often as you need to, because what we need to know is that God still shows up and he's still with us and he's still saying, listen, you keep going. Keep sharing. Keep talking about me, right? No wind to shake the dust off your clothes, but that doesn't mean you stop talking. You just find somebody else to talk to. But you have a message. It's the gospel. So go and share it with whomever it is that the Lord brings in your path. Don't stop. Don't let fear derail you. You keep going. I love that the Apostle Paul needed that, because there's many moments within my life where I need that word. I need that word. Because if we're honest, it's not the easiest thing to follow Jesus. Now, it's completely easy on the part of becoming a follower of Jesus. It couldn't be easier. He's done all the work. You're just a glad surrender to him and to this free gift of salvation. He died on the cross and rose from the grave. And all you got to do is just say yes. All you got to do is just surrender. That's pretty simple in one sense. But it's the battle you engage in from that moment on. It's difficult at times. And if we're honest, we all know that. It's difficult. And there are moments within, I think, each and every one of our lives where it's like, man, Lord, I don't know how much longer I can do this. It's getting hard. And our world certainly isn't helping out anything. It's getting hard. Lord, it's hard. It's getting difficult. But he would tell you, and he would tell myself, keep going. Just keep going. Don't become silent. Speak up. But why? Why? Verse 10. for I'm with you. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. I mean, he blesses Paul with the remainder of this verse, but all you need to know is he is with you. He's with you. Paul needed to be reminded of that there in Corinth. Many days I need to be reminded of that. I need that beautiful little reminder from God. I'm with you. I'm with you. But it doesn't feel like you're with me. It feels like you're so far away. And God would say, no, I'm with you. Don't let your feelings fool you. Don't be driven by your feelings, so to speak. Because, I mean, sometimes I feel great. I've never felt closer to the Lord. And he might be like, really? You feel close to me? Like, we haven't talked in days. Where you been? Oh, wait, no, I thought I was doing good. Yeah, no. Then there's times where it's like, oh, Lord, I'm just a wretch. I feel like I'm worthless, like, and all this stuff. And he's like, no, you're right where I want you to be. And I'm right there with you. God is so good. He's so good. And here he is, encouraging Paul, comforting Paul, hopefully comforting you today. I am with you. Here's the other blessing about this. He says, no one will attack or harm you. So that must have been heavy on Paul's heart and his mind. This had to have been weighing heavy within him, because this is what he's experienced everywhere he's gone. He's like, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. The salvation is breaking out, and all I know for me is that when that happens, I get in trouble, and I get beat up, and they try to kill me. So here we go again. I'm just, Lord, I don't know if I can brace for impact one more time. And God's like, no, listen, you're going to be okay. Keep preaching. Keep proclaiming. Keep sharing. No one will attack you or harm you. He says, for many people in this city belong to me, or I have many people in this city. Here's two thoughts on this. Either God is saying, this is a result of maybe this little revival that's breaking out, that a lot of people are getting saved, and so Paul can find comfort within that. God's like, look, I have plenty of people that are on your side. They're not going to hurt you. Or, and this is what I tend to believe, God is saying, no, Paul, listen. There are many people in this city that I have. They're going to get saved because you keep proclaiming. You keep speaking. I'm going to win a lot of people in this city, Paul. I need you to keep talking. I need you to keep sharing. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them, because there's many souls in the city that have yet to be won to the Lord. You can look at both views. You can hold fast to both views at the same time, right? This isn't like an either or, right? This is encouraging, I think, for you. I definitely for myself. Because when you go to plant a church in a city, what you want to hear from the Lord is for him to say, keep talking, keep doing what I called you to do. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. There are many people in the city of Galveston that I have. What does that mean? Maybe yet to get saved. Maybe yet to get saved. So that's why we keep doing what we do. That's why you don't close down the church. You don't do that. You do live streaming. That's beautiful. I see all you people on the camera. Actually, I don't see any of you, but you see me. And we see you guys, whether you're in Italy or Boise or California. People are watching from all over. Oregon. We keep doing what we do. We keep sharing the gospel because we don't know what the Lord's going to do within the souls of men and women and children who hear it. He's got plenty of people that are saved or that yet will be saved. We keep showing up, and we're going to do what God has called us to do. And he will be with us every step of the way. So you can serve the Lord, I can serve the Lord, with no fear, with no fear. I just love that. Paul needed that. I need that. You need that. You need to know the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. So he gets that little shot of adrenaline there. It's just, it's a nice thing. You guys remember when you're a kid and you're like just terrified of everything, right? Maybe that's not true of all of you, but there's some things I was never terrified of. But there were some things that was like always had me on edge. Maybe walking home in the middle of the night, you know, they kind of watching whatever movie you probably shouldn't have been watching. And then now you got to walk through the dark to get home. And it's just like, everything is like, I'm seeing bad stuff everywhere. Like these murderous whatever, I mean, they're just out to get me. And I'm sure there's something in that creepy looking tree, right? We know what that feels like. There's a story of this little boy who was helping his mom cook. And she had asked him to go into the pantry and get a can of tomato soup, right? And the problem with the pantry is there's no light in the pantry. And the boy he's a little guy, 5, 6 years old, terrified of the dark. Terrified specifically of the pantry because it's a dark place. And you know, your imagination as a young child, like, I mean, anything is living in that thing. I mean, you name it. There's like, it's full of ghosts. It's full of whatever, right? Scary things. And that was like the death sentence that was placed on him. Like, mom sends him to go get the can of tomato sauce, and he's like, no. So he begs and pleads with her, like, I can't do it. And she convinces him, she says, listen, don't worry. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. He'll be in that pantry with you. So this kid, my kind of kid, shows up to that pantry, opens the door, and says, hey, Jesus, will you give me that can of tomato soup? I'm like, thank you, yes, because that's how I feel sometimes. Like, how far do I have to go to this thing? Like, Jesus, you're in there. Can you just get it for me? That's kind of how we are with life. That's kind of how we are with ministry and serving the Lord. It's like, but Lord, it's scary. What we need to be reminded of is what it already says in the Word. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. He gets this nice little pep talk. No one will hurt you. No one will harm you. Many people in the city belong to me. So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half. The next year and a half, he dwelled in Corinth. He lived there. And what did he do? New Living Translation tells us, your whatever translation you're in says the same thing. He taught the Word of God. He taught the Word of God. What should you do? Teach the Word. That's it. It's as simple as that. Just teach the Word. Well, how do I teach the Word in like just everyday conversations? You can do it. There's ways. Now, you don't have to sit somebody down and say like, okay, so now we're going to open up our Bibles and we're going to have this little Bible study about... No, you can bring the Word into your conversations with individuals. There's ways to do it. There's ways to do it without feeling like you're taking this Bible and beating them over the head with it. You don't need to do that. Please don't do that. Spend so much time engaging in the Word, not out of obligation, but just out of delight, right? And get so much of this Word stored up and hidden within your heart. What you will find is it will come out in your conversation. You memorize Scripture. Because that's you storing it, that's you hiding it away within your heart, and you will be surprised that you can be having a conversation with someone and they bring up something and you have a verse that's been stored up in your heart that speaks about that very thing, and you can be like, oh, you know what? I remember that there's this Bible verse that says this concerning that. Teach the Word. Teach the Word. Hope, the hopeless, hopeless,
red for. How incredible to learn about the Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of the apostles within the early church. You've been listening to Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us in this study through the book of Acts. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more from Pastor James, feel free to visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. We'd also love to hear from you, so would you let us know how you've been blessed by Bread for the Broken? You can drop us a note through the contact page on our website. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Galveston. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you visit. So for directions, service times, and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We hope to see you soon. Until then, we encourage you to read ahead and to begin to study the book of Acts on your own. Although it may seem unrelatable because it took place thousands of years ago, that couldn't be further from the truth. God is still living and active today, and His Spirit is present and seeking those who believe. And if you let Him, God can do incredibly powerful things through you for the kingdom. So the question we'll leave you with today is, will you say yes to what God is doing? And will you trust in Him to move today just as He did all of those years ago? There's still so much to learn from the book of Acts, but that's all the time we have for today. Join us again next time, right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of humans, the one love.